If you have a Bible this morning, turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 13 to verse 17. And we'll take our text today from verse 16 to 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 13. The apostle says, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this morning that as we look into the holy truths of your word, that we'd have a greater appreciation and more confidence and trust in the gospel to save sinners. Father, we just pray for the presence of your spirit this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the context of these scriptures, we see the apostle's great love for and his confidence in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer." So he says that he serves with his spirit in the gospel of God's Son as he prays for those who are in Rome. The Apostle Paul is proud of the gospel, and he tells the people at Rome as he writes this letter to the brethren at Rome that he's ready to come to Rome and to preach this gospel to them the same as he has to all the other Gentiles. He says in verse 14, he says, "I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." And he says that concerning the gospel, he says that "I am indebted to preach the gospel to everyone." He says he's not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. And what the apostle is telling them at Rome, see, Rome was the capital city. It was the center of the world. All the great people were at Rome, all the great people politically, militarily, socially, they were all in Rome. And plus, he had to deal with Greek philosophy. And the apostle is saying, "I'll make no apology." He said, "I'm coming to Rome and I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of this message that I have to bring to you. I'm coming to Rome with this message." And it would be the same as me or you saying that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to Washington, D.C., and I'm going to take this message. And the Apostle Paul knew that when he took this message to Rome, that it was going to cause him persecution. It could possibly cause him his life. He could possibly be killed or stoned or whatever else for preaching the gospel. But the reason why he had great confidence in the gospel, because he knew that in the gospel, it was God's only way of saving poor, lost sinners. So he had great confidence in the message that he had to preach. And he says, "I'm coming to Rome. I'll preach it anywhere without apology." Now, as there are everywhere, there were probably some Christians there in Rome who were ashamed of the gospel. That's why the apostle says the things that he did. And all Christians, even Christians here, even some of the best saints ever, have been tempted to be ashamed of the gospel. Because when you talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's, as we'll see later, concerned, it's a stumbling block to this world. When you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world, it's an offensive thing. And even some of the greatest saints, as you read throughout the Word of God, they were ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to show you what Paul told Timothy. It's a temptation to be ashamed of the gospel. Even Timothy, the apostle had to tell Timothy. He says in verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." And this is what he tells him. He says, "But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." So the apostle had to tell Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, which the testimony of Christ is the gospel. He said, "Instead of being ashamed, I want you to share with me in my sufferings for the gospel." In other words, Timothy obviously was tempted with others to be ashamed of Paul and his testimony of the gospel. He's telling Timothy, he says, I don't want you to be ashamed of the gospel. I want you to be proud of the gospel. I want you to be confident in the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's a glorious message. It's the only way that men can be saved. And there was a time when Paul was locked up and in chains that some did not want to be associated with him because they were ashamed of the gospel. In verse 15, he says that, this you know, that all in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. He said, but the Lord has granted mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. So there was people that were ashamed of him, and then there was people who loved him and refreshed him and were not ashamed of the fact that he had been locked up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we see that it's a temptation, brethren, to be ashamed of this glorious message of the gospel. You say, well, why is it a temptation to be ashamed of the gospel? Because when the gospel is truly preached, the world ridicules it, they make fun of it, they consider it all folly. The world ridicules the gospel, and we, by nature, we don't like being ridiculed, we don't like being made fun of, so as a result, we become ashamed of the message of the gospel. And in the day in which we live, I feel in my own heart that preachers and churches are becoming more and more ashamed of the gospel. Amen. And less confident in the power of the gospel to save. You say, why? Because the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is an offense and a stumbling block to this world. Those who stay true to the gospel, they have to share in the sufferings of the gospel. And you could look at the world today, and man is trying every method, every trick in the world to get more people to come to church and to try to reach out to the young. And so what they do is they begin to water down or even replace this glorious message of the cross. The only way God gave us to do it is to preach the gospel of Christ faithfully and diligently, because that is the only way that men and women will ever be saved. Ever be saved. And you young who sit here today, we're burdened for you, and our burden that we have for you is our love for you. We got a room this morning full of children. We got a room full of you. But I got some really good news for you this morning. We're not going to do anything special to you for you to try to get you to believe the gospel. We're not going to start a children's church. We're not going to jazz up the music and worship. We're going to sit you up under the sounds of the gospel. And the reason why we are, because it and it only is the power of God unto salvation. Only by your believing the gospel will you ever be saved. Any other way is man's futile efforts to obtain salvation out of God's ordained way. And every bit of it will end up in total failure, because the power of God is not involved in it. The power of God is in the preaching of the gospel. Are y'all with me this morning? The power of the gospel to save sinners is through the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And any human being, whether you're a man, woman, boy, or girl, white, yellow, black, blue, or brown, rich, poor, middle class, that rejects the gospel, it's only by it that you can be saved.
Amen.
Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Lord Jesus says, preach the gospel to every creature. And then he tells his disciples, he said, you go out and you preach the gospel to every creature. And then he says in verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, it's not your baptism that saves you, but it's your believing. And then he says, who does not believe, he's basically saying, will be condemned. So it's essential that we preach and that we're not ashamed of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're still talking about why the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's mandatory that we preach the gospel, brethren. Are y'all with me? It's mandatory that the gospel, this message never gets old. That was weak, but this message never gets old. And he's talking about this matter in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, is that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. I don't want to get into everything he's saying here, but verse 16, the apostle says this. He says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. It was so important to the apostle Paul that he pronounces a woe upon himself if he does not preach the gospel. He says, I've got to preach the gospel whether I'm paid to do it or not. And woe unto any minister or any church that does not preach the gospel. Woe unto you and I, brethren, if we present salvation to men in any other way. Woe unto us. Paul pronounced a woe on his own self if he did not preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said, it's very offensive to the world. The message of the cross, as we'll see later, is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's not a very, very popular message at all. Look at Galatians chapter 1, and then we'll go back to keep your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter. We'll put in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but go to Galatians chapter 1. I want to show you what the apostle said. How many of you want to see men and women saved?
Amen.
Then preach the gospel. I said preach the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 8. Verse 6 to 8. I'm all out of kilter this week. My wife's down and I'm a basket case. I had to wash clothes and wash dishes and I'm a mess. I need the gospel. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. See, they were dealing with this in the days of the church of Galatia. And, of course, you know, the Judaizers were coming in, and they were trying to pervert the gospel, teaching that it was justification by the law, teaching that it was Christ and the law. And he's saying they're perverting the gospel. But this is what Paul said. This is how serious it is to the Apostle Paul. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him what? Be accursed. He said, that's how serious it is, because they were coming in perverting the gospel. And brethren, when you pervert the gospel, you're putting the souls of men and women online, and they cannot be saved. I said, they cannot be saved under any other message but the preaching of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This message is foolishness to those who are perishing. This is why people are ashamed of it, because it's foolishness to the world. Let me tell you this right now. If what we're doing as a church starts making sense to the world, woe be unto us. Now, we're not a part of the world. We're not hating the world. I'm just saying that what we're doing, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Then churches are being too much accepted by the world in the wrong way. You know, we want men and women to be saved and repent and believe the gospel, but woe be unto us if we start making sense to the world. This does not make sense to the world. A crucified Jewish carpenter does not make sense to the world that you can be saved by him. And that's the only way that you can be saved by him. And you have to be dogmatic about that and say the only way that you will ever go to heaven is by faith in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you can ever go to heaven. You will never be good enough to please God. Now, you tell that to people, and that's an offense to people. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says in verse 18, he says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is what? It is the power of God." And then he says in verse 23, just skipping some of the verses, he says, "But we preach Christ crucified." He said, "To the Jews, it's a stumbling block, and to this very day, it's still a stumbling block to the Jews." And he said, "To the Greeks, it's foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." So, brethren, the world thinks the gospel is ridiculous because of the message that it proclaims. And the message that we have to take to this world is that a carpenter who was born in abject poverty, born in a stable, no room in the inn, who was crucified in weakness. We have to hold up before this world a crucified Jewish carpenter to the world as Savior. And that makes utter nonsense to this world we live in. We hold up the Son of God as a Savior, and the world laughs at this. And the very character of the message of the gospel that we have produces ridicule. The gospel of Jesus Christ will always be offensive to the unregenerate natural man. And as I said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to the natural man. Anytime you present the true gospel to this world, be ready to be taken wrong and to get offense, because it's offensive to the world. Now, there are ways that you can present the gospel to the world, that the world will accept Christ. You can present Christ as a great hero, simply a good example to follow him. You can tell the world, just imitate him in his life, you will be fine. Or you can have the popularity of today's gospel. Christ is presented as, I think Pastor Jim told us some weeks back, someone who can help you with your problems. Are you in trouble? You got financial problems, you got marital problems, you got terminal illness, troubled children. Come at once to Christ. He will take away all your problems. And the problem with that message is you never truly get saved because you don't come to Christ because you're a sinner in desperate need of the grace of God. You say, why do I need Christ today? Because of your sin. Because you're out of fellowship and you need to be restored in great fellowship with God that Adam had before he fell in the garden. Brethren, this will offend people if you preach this message. But if you tell people, come to Christ, he will deliver you from all your problems. This won't offend people because you have a Savior that will take all your troubles away. But you never deal with the problem of the fact that you have a sin problem before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, this is what the Apostle Paul says. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save believers. It was through the foolishness of the message that got people saved. You say, what's the offense of the cross? The offense is this. I'm a hopeless, condemned, lost sinner on the way to a sinner's hell. And what's offensive about it is that the only way that I can ever come to God or to know God is through the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. If he had not died and shed his blood, salvation is utterly impossible for any of the descendants of Adam. This poor, despised, rejected, crucified Jewish carpenter is my only way to God. Can I tell you how Christ looks to the world? Go with me to Isaiah 53. This is the way the Lord Jesus looks to the world. Y'all with me this morning? You can amen this, because this is our message. This is our message. We say we want to go out and we want to see men and women saved, then we can't be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to preach the gospel. And Paul was telling him here, he said, I'm not ashamed of this message. I have a lot of confidence in this message. If I bring this message to Rome, even though they may kill me for this message, men and women can be saved, because this message is the power of God unto salvation. This message will get men and women saved, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, how does Christ look to the world? Isaiah 53, verse 2. It says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. Now, this is how he looks to the world. He has no form of comeliness. Y'all with me this morning? He wasn't a popular, great-looking man as everybody would want him to be, okay? He has no form of comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he says here, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. That's all I'm going to read. Not only did he look that way when he went to the cross, that's the way he looks to the world today. And they despise the Lord Jesus. And they're saying, how can you have salvation in somebody that looks like that, especially somebody that died in weakness the way he died? He was defeated. He didn't win. He lost. He won. He won. And now we can stand in the presence of God. So it's only through faith in him and his sacrifice that we will ever be made right with God. John chapter 14, verse 6, the Lord Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. John chapter 10, verse 9, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. If you don't preach this gospel, then brethren, you're preaching another Jesus and you're watering it down. And when you water it down, it only means one thing. It means that you're ashamed of it. Paul is telling him at Rome, he's not ashamed of this message, even though if he comes and preaches this message, it'll get him persecuted or thrown in prison. He's going to preach this gospel because he knows that it was the power of God unto salvation. I have a message that is the only hope that men or women, wherever they live in the world, whatever their problem is, will ever be saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ is always exposed to the charge of ridicule and contempt, and it will annoy the natural man. He will hate it. If you find unregenerate people praising the preacher or his message, you better examine what's being preached. Y'all with me? We don't want people to hate us, but I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to love our message. because it tells people that Christ is the only way. The bottom line is when the gospel of the New Testament is faithfully preached, the world is not going to praise it, but they're going to reject and ridicule it. And at the same time, sinners will be saved.
Amen.
Y'all with me? Sinners will be saved. The gospel is the good news, but at the same time, it's offensive to the world and a stumbling block to the world. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 1, because the second thing that the Apostle Paul says here, he says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Just to read your scripture, you don't have to turn to this. Romans chapter 10, verse 15, the apostle says here, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. The word gospel means good news and glad tidings. The gospel is the most wonderful, astounding message that a man can hear. It's good news of the kingdom of God and of salvation through Christ, and it's to be received by faith. It's to be received by faith, and all of us on the basis of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of God. The gospel is God's power of love and grace towards sinners, which is totally undeserved, and it's embodied in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying this. He's saying the gospel is the power to save. And when he talks about the power of God, he's not talking about God's omnipotence, but he's talking about God's power of grace in the gospel is what does and can save sinners. Anytime you come in contact with the gospel, you come in contact with the power that operates for salvation. And you who sit here every Sunday, and hear the gospel, the power is really here to save you. I said the power is in this room to save you. Because anytime you come in contact with the gospel, the power is here to save. But if you decide you're going to dilute and alter the gospel, then it's reduced to a power to the point that it can no longer save. It takes God's power to save. All the human power in the world cannot save one man. But the gospel is God's way of salvation. It's God's only way of saving men. The gospel is not something that tells us what we must do to save ourselves. It tells us how God has provided, how God has produced his own way of salvation, how God's going to apply his salvation. Salvation is God's plan. It's God's purpose. Salvation is all the activity of God. Brethren, can you think of how bad it would be if it wasn't the activity of God? If we were working out our own salvation without God being with us, we'd be in a most sad shape. But the gospel is the power of salvation. The gospel is the power of God into salvation. So it means that the gospel is salvation is absolutely certain. Now, the gospel guarantees us salvation to end in glorification. And this is good news this morning because God himself is at work till every last saint is glorified. Till every last saint is glorified, God is at work. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when Paul says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, he means that the gospel is God's mighty working in and through us by means of the gospel. Salvation he speaks of is a complete salvation. All that God has determined before the foundation of the world, all that he has brought to pass, and all that he has done and yet to do in Christ through the Spirit, he's talking about that salvation. He's talking about ultimate salvation. And the bottom line, salvation is this, brethren. It's the bottom line. You're forgiven and blessed and all that. But salvation basically is deliverance of man from all the consequences of the fall and sin. Sometimes we limit it to just forgiveness, but there is so much more to salvation. And when the apostle came preaching the gospel, he had confidence in it because he experienced it and he knew the power of the gospel. And what the gospel does, it delivers, it cleanses, it transforms. You said, what does the gospel do? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It takes power to do that. It takes God's power to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. I'm just going to read some of this. He says, and such were some of you, but you were what? Washed. You were cleansed. You were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. So the Apostle Paul, he gloried in the gospel because he knew that it was the power of God to save lost souls. Now the power of God to save does not depend upon me and my faithfulness, because if that's the case, I would be hopelessly lost. The power is God's to save, to keep, to justify, to sanctify, to take us right on into glorification. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Peter says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." You say, what is Peter saying? Peter's saying it's God's power to take us right into heaven itself. So when he talks about salvation, he's talking about ultimate salvation going all the way to glorification. And when he says that the gospel is the power of God, he's saying that it's the dynamic activity of God at work in us until we're totally, completely saved. Amen. We're saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. And you know, I know it's hard to understand all that, but we're saved, but we will be saved, totally, ultimately glorified one day in the sight of God. And the gospel will work until all that God has purposed by all these means is totally complete. Now, brethren, one thing I do want to tell you this morning is when we say the power of the gospel, we don't mean the mere letter of the word of God. Because just reading the scripture or hearing it does not save a man or woman. There's power in the word of God, but not in the mere letter of the word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, the apostle says this to the Thessalonians. He says, "Our gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance." And then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul preached to them in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit, or else it just becomes the dead letter of the Word. The Spirit of God has to breathe on the Word of God, and then it releases us and it sets us free, and sinners are saved. All that God has done for us through Christ Jesus and all the riches of Christ come to us by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of the Gospel. A lot of times on Wednesday nights, we're praying that the presence of the Spirit of God will be here on Sunday mornings. Because if we don't have the Spirit of God, none will ever be saved. This is just a dead letter of the Word. Pastor Jim can labor over and over and over again, and he can preach just as good as anybody could ever preach. But he needs the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. A lot of times before I preach, I pray, "Lord, prepare sinners to be saved this day." That means that the Holy Spirit has to be here. Y'all with me? Because if you rely on my preaching, you better go somewhere else. But with the Spirit of God, a person could get up here and say, "Believe on Jesus," and one can be saved. Because all it takes is the power of the Spirit of God. But brethren, without the Holy Spirit, all of our preaching is in vain. We need His presence and His power every time the Word of God goes forth. And another blessing in the gospel, the Apostle Paul says, it's the power of God to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Now, for the sake of time, I don't want to talk about that part of it, to the Jew first. You know, the gospel was to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel first. But I want to point out one thing this morning. The gospel holds out hope for everybody. And that's the glory of the gospel. There is as much hope for the most desperate, most violent sinner as there is for the most nice, respectable person that you know. It's the power of God in both cases. It was the power of God in the case of Nicodemus, the Pharisee. It's the power of God in the case of Rahab, the harlot. It takes the power of God to save anyone. You know, a lot of people, they say, "Yeah, you know, I used to drink, but, you know, I was a decent drinker." You were still lost. Y'all with me? And it takes the same power of God to save one who's a decent drinker as one who just threw beer cans everywhere. I'm just trying to make a point. Because some people say, "Well, you know, this sinner's in the gutter. You know, there's no way God can change them. There's no way God can save them." But I think it's hope for this other person because they talk about God a lot. More likely, it's more hope for them because most of the time the other one's a hypocrite. But it's the same power of God that saves all. And what a consolation, what a hope, what a message. This message right here, it breaks through racial barriers. It breaks through cultural barriers. It breaks through social barriers. This gospel will break through all of it and save people. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. This is what the apostle says. "You are all the sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Only by the power of the gospel can all the strife, the war, the division, and the prejudices of this world be put aside. No other message can do this. Are y'all with me? No other message can bring this many knuckleheads together and get along like the gospel. Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. And we still got problems, but we're growing. Y'all with me? And that's why we can never stray away from the gospel, because when we have problems in the church, we must look back to the old rugged cross and remember where we came from. Amen. But only by the power of God can men be brought together to the state that God originally intended them to be. The gospel is the power of God unto everyone who believes. The most desperate sinner in this world can be saved by the gospel. I like the hymn where it says, "His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me." That's the power of the gospel. By the power of the gospel, the past will be blotted out, your sins are forgiven, and all will lead to this final course of glorification. Now, brethren, just something I want to say this morning. I want you to understand what I'm saying. My personal belief is that what is happening in this country now, and I don't want us to be guilty of it, but here's the way I'm saying it, is a lot of times we will present people with our churches and how good they are above the message of the gospel. Now let me say this, and understand this right, and then I'll make it. There is no salvation in the name of Reformed Baptists of Louisville. Amen. But there is salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I want to straighten this up, but I don't want you to say that he's saying people can't come. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you need to bring them to your church to hear the gospel, but you need to exalt Christ before you get them here. Amen. Because I think a lot of times what people hear is a message of the church, but they don't hear the message of Christ. Y'all with me? It's the message of Christ that saves. You say, well, if you're going to take them to church, where would you take them? I'm going to bring them here. But what I need to tell them before they get here is that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And because the reason why this is a good church is because of him. It's because of the message of the gospel that we have. Acts chapter 4 says there's no other name given among men whereby we can be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me warn you today, don't preach morality without the gospel, because it's powerless. Y'all with me? Don't preach the law without the gospel, because it's powerless. You need them all, and you need both of them for effective evangelism. But if you leave out Christ and him crucified, your witness is as powerless as a Muslim or Jehovah Witness, because all cults are void of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all cults teach salvation by works. And so, brethren, if we leave out Christ and we don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, then what are we preaching? We're preaching a salvation by works. So if you take the law to people and say, do you keep these commandments? And they say, no, you know, I'm a liar, I'm this, that, or the other. That's fine, you know. They need to see that. They need to see their sinner. But the other thing that they need to see is that they need a Savior. So you can't have one without the other. Because, if you had to leave one out, I think I'd leave the law side out, you know, because there's more hope in Christ saving them. But they do need to see themselves as a sinner. But I think a lot of times we go and preach morality. A lot of times we go and preach the law, but we forget the Lord Jesus Christ. And people aren't saved. And then the last thing the apostle says this morning, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because in the gospel is the righteousness of God. In the gospel is the righteousness of God. Job 15:14 says this, what is man that he could be pure, and he who was born of a woman that he could be righteous? In other words, Job is asking the question, how can a man be just before God? Job is asking the question, how can the unclean be cleansed and made acceptable to God? And the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ, gives us the answer to all these questions. It's the business of the gospel to make us righteous in the sight of God, and to make us acceptable before God, and to make us to be able to stand in the presence of God. The central purpose of the gospel is to make a man just with God and to enable us to stand righteous in the presence of God. And that's why I said earlier that the gospel goes beyond just being forgiven, but our fellowship with God has been restored because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can a man be made just with God? You say, how can I stand before God and know without a doubt that I can make it to heaven? You know, putting the gospel aside. You say, how can I make it to heaven? And there may be people here this morning said, you know, I heard all this Jesus stuff. Then give me a way this morning that I can make it to heaven. I'm going to give you a way. You must perfectly keep every jot and tittle of the law. Y'all in here? Can anybody make it? Everybody just said no. You must perfectly keep every jot and tittle of the law. You must honor the law in every respect. You must be free and delivered from the condemnation of the law. You must be delivered from the punishment that the law threatens. Brethren, no one would make it. The major concern of salvation is righteousness. And the object of Christian salvation is to bring us back into the presence of God. Yes, we've been forgiven. We've been delivered from the wrath of God. But one of the things that we live out, brethren, is that we are made righteous before God. And through the gospel, God gives us the very righteousness that he demands. And this righteousness that God gives us is not our filthy rags. Y'all with me? This gospel provides us with the righteousness from God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, how is this provided? Christ has satisfied the law of God on our behalf perfectly in every sense. Galatians 4:4 says that he was made of a woman. He was made under the law. He rendered a perfect obedience to the law. He failed in no respect. He kept the law at every jot and tittle. He has fulfilled the law of God completely, perfectly, and absolutely. And not only that, he dealt with the penalty that was meted out by the law upon sin. He took our guilt upon himself. He bore our punishment. The penalty of the law was meted out on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why, this is the good news of the gospel. And because of his work, we stand complete in the presence of God. The Lord Jesus Christ has honored the law completely. As one man says, he's honored it positively, negatively, actively, and passively. The good news is there's nothing further that the law can demand. Jesus has satisfied it all. And what the gospel does, it announces God's way of salvation. To those who believe in Christ, you are given the righteousness of Christ himself. God gives to us his righteousness. He puts it to our account. And the glorious message of the gospel is this. He has canceled all our debts because Christ has paid him. Our books are canceled and cleared. Now that's shouting ground. Y'all with me? That's shouting ground. Your books are cleared and canceled. I mean, and the only way that it could be canceled is through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing is all the perfection and righteousness of Christ he puts to my account. You say, what are you saying? He said, I'm telling you this. When I believe the gospel, and this is a blessed thing, immediately I'm clothed with the righteousness of Christ. When I believe the gospel, God looks at me like I have perfectly kept the law. You can't ask no more. You see why when Paul went up to Rome, he says, I got something for him at Rome. I'm bringing a message that will save men and women and release them and set them free. I'm not ashamed of this message because he understood what this message meant. The hymn says, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious. Thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, I don't want to be found in him having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel brings to man the righteousness of God. And God forbid that on the great day of judgment that there be anyone sitting in this room today that will be found having their own righteousness, which is of the law. Because, brethren, what it will do, it will doom you forever. But the righteousness of Christ comes with the preaching of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the gospel is the righteousness that God requires for one to be admitted into heaven. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, I love this gospel because therein this gospel is the righteousness of God. When one repents and believes the gospel, he's instantaneously clothed with the righteousness of God. Now, just an application this morning to the unconverted. Then I want to say something specifically to Christians today. to the unconverted, I just plead with you today to repent and believe the gospel. You say, why aren't you screaming at me this morning? Number one, I can't scream anyway. But number two, this message is good news, not a message of doom. The gospel is the power of God to rescue your soul from perishing from all eternity. And I tell you, it's your only hope to be able to stand cleansed in God's presence, forgiven and restored to fellowship and favor with God. There is no other way that your fellowship with God will be restored except you repent and believe this gospel. You're not too old to believe it. You're not too young to believe it. Repent and believe the gospel, because it's a glorious gospel. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it, because this message that we have is the power of God to save your soul. To my brethren, my Christians today, I want to say a few things this morning. Without preaching the gospel, a church is powerless. We'll lose all our power. And you say, why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I want to say this morning. Saints need the gospel preached to them as well as sinners. You say, y'all preach the gospel too much here. You can't preach the gospel too much. You can't preach Christ too much. But Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's why, you know, you get a lot of the gospel here, but you need it. You say, well, why do I need the gospel? Number one is you need to keep your hope and your focus on your blessed Savior. You need that. Number two, you say, well, why do I need the gospel? To keep you from being self-righteous. Y'all with me? It's His righteousness that justifies you before God, not your filthy rags. And after you've done all that you can do, you're still the unprofitable servant. And everything that you have by the grace of God. And every time that you think that you've got a plateau higher than another church or higher than your brethren and everything else, you look back at the cross and it'll humble you and put you right back where God wants you, on your knees, on your face before Him. Because all that you have is by the grace of God. Number three, and we need this as a church, we need the gospel so that we can stay balanced as a church. You say, what do you mean? We don't want to become unbalanced in any one doctrine. You say, what do you mean? Y'all still don't understand. You say, what do you mean? We don't want to become a holiness church. We don't want to become a faith church. We don't want to become a love church. You say, what do we want to be? A biblical church. We want to believe the whole counsel of God. And we're going to teach all these things. All these things spring off the gospel. What churches do, and I've seen it as I've been saved, they get lopsided. And the reason why they get lopsided is because they forget the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they'll say, you need to be more holy to get to heaven. Or you need to have more faith to get to heaven. Or you need more of this or more love or more of that. We get to heaven because of what Christ has done. And everything else the Lord tells us to preach, because it's the whole counsel of God, because we have to preach these things to keep us balanced, know what a Christian looks like, and to glorify God in this world. But what I'm saying is we need the gospel. We need to continually focus on Christ, so that we will be a balanced church. A balanced church is a biblical church. And we get preached everything here. We got the balance here. We got the gospel here. But I'm just saying that we need to continue to have the gospel so that we won't become a powerless church. But I'm going to tell you right now, if the name on the door say, this is a church of holiness, we believe in holiness, where's Christ? You know what I'm saying? You know, we're reformed. We don't have Christ in there, but we know what we believe and we say that. But what I'm saying is, where's Christ? You're not saved because you're holy. You're not saved because you got so much faith. You're not saved because you're loved. You're saved because of what Christ has done. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean by that. And then the last thing today, and we'll close down. We need the gospel to restore confidence to struggling saints. Say, what do you mean? It's real simple. Christ died for me. You say, well, how is that going to help me when I'm going through what I'm going through? If God is for me, who can be against me? Christ has died. So, brethren, if my confidence before God is in my works, I'm hopeless. But I like what the Apostle Paul says. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because he says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But you know what? I've got a lot of confidence. If I preach that to sinners, they will be saved. They will be saved. Let's pray this. Father, we thank you that you have graced us as a church, and that you have been faithful to us to continually preach us the gospel of your blessed Son. And we ask this morning that you would never let us be ashamed of such a glorious message. And Father, we thank you that our blessed Savior has died on our behalf. We thank you that he has restored that broken fellowship that we've had with you. And Father, we ask you to cause us to be bold and firm in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do ask, Lord, that your blessings would be on the rest of this Lord's day, and that as your word comes forth this evening, and as your word goes forth in the prison, that you will bless. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.